Hello, and welcome back to the One Trick Pony, Legends of Philadelphia. These are your hosts, Tony, Mr. Ed Trove, and Johnny, My Little Pony Zito.
There's peanut butter in my teeth.
I'm Brian Bojack Bierman, helping out on engineering duty.
Whoa.
You might be wondering, why are these guys on their high horses? Well, in addition to being born and raised in Philadelphia, Trove and Zito have a lifestyle brand, South Philly, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes and comfort and podcasts and off-track betting. Lots of times, customers will ask, how do you parallel park a pony? Or they want to know if Pat's steaks are really made with horse meat. It tastes like it.
Gino told me that.
So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you.
I can't believe you mentioned Bojack when you know Mr. Peanut Butter listens.
Oh, I guess I did do that, didn't I? I guess I did write in a little.
Look. That guy just listened to anything about horses.
That guy.
We're talking about horses. It's horse talk today.
Hey, is for horses. A nun in my elementary school used to say that. We'd be like, hey, sister. She'd be like, hey, is for horses.
Before we start about horses, I want to mention... I meant to mention this last week in the errors episode, but I forgot. But last night, as we were recording this, Ryan Long, who lives in Mount Airy, he was on Jeopardy, and he was on a 16-game winning streak.
Damn.
He's a rideshare driver in Mount Airy, but he lost last night. But he had won 16 games in a row. He was killing it.
Damn, that's awesome.
Legend. A legend.
A true legend.
In 20 years, we'll do an episode on him.
Yeah, 20
yeah.
Years. Episode 1,000. We'll have giant beards.
And wizard hats, of course.
And wizard hats.
Wizards. We're wizards.
So wise. So wise.
Well, congratulations to him and condolences on losing after 16 games. There's no shame in that. What's the record? What's Ken Jennings? What's the record?
Oh, I don't know. It's longer than that.
16 and a half, I think.
He won a half game.
Just missed it, yeah. It's a tie. It's ties. You only get 1 point for a tie, like in hockey.
Yeah. I did know there's a lot of similarities between Jeopardy rules and hockey rules. That's true.
That's true. Look,
Ken Jennings was 74 games.
74
Damn,
games?
Wow.
No one's ever beaten that.
Do you think it was cheating? Do you think it was cheating?
I think it was bullshit.
Do you think like there was like a PA holding up the answers?
Yeah, I don't trust that.
Mm. He wrote the questions. That's how he knew the answers.
He knew the answer. He knew the answers wrote them on his hand.
He had like a smartwatch. He was looking them up.
Yeah, and it got hot, and the ink ran, and that's how he lost the last one. Wait, I might have to go back to the intro because I knew I was gonna make this. I was gonna make a Pat's steaks horse meat joke, and you just took my thunder in the intro. Where did that come from? Wasn't it that like if there's that horse track on Packer Avenue, and if the horse came in last place, would be sent to Pat's steaks, and they. Right? Is this what this is what they said?
Honestly,
the
I don't.
It was in the South Philly Review, right?
I don't know if you're going to believe me, but the first time I heard that Pat Steaks sold horse meat was from you. We were like 13
really?
Years old.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were going down around that way to buy a cheesesteak, and I was like trying to decide which one I was going to get, and you were like, well, you know, Pat's is horse meat. And I was like, whether that's true or not, I don't want one. That's just it's a very, very effective anti-marketing.
It was Joey Vento said that.
Gino's is dog meat, as everybody knows.
Gino's dog meat. But
I don't
want to,
I don't, I don't want to disparage one of them and not the other because they're both trash. So.
Someday it's going to come out that their meat is actually like vegan Impossible Burger stuff. It's not real. And they've been duping everybody.
Mystery meat.
Mystery meat.
You know, when I went to Japan, I think about this all the time. There was horse meat for sale, and I didn't get it.
Really?
It's the first thing I think about every morning, about how I should have ate that horse meat.
It's the first thing you think about.
It was raw, too, raw horse meat.
They don't cook it? They don't even charbroil
it? It was in like a back alley.
You're like some underground meat market.
Yeah, dude.
What else do they have?
I don't know. Maybe human meat, which I've had already, but I never had a horse.
Which you had? Would you eat a monkey? Would you eat monkey brains? Would you eat the missing link? Would you eat the...
Bigfoot, the rarest meat.
The rarest of meat. Stupid.
The inspiration for today's episode comes from a recent event in Huntington Park. Philly residents found an underweight horse wandering around after the owner abandoned him a few hours after purchasing the animal.
Oh, man.
Isn't that crazy?
This guy got drunk, bought a horse, and then sobered up a little bit and was like, did I buy a horse? I don't want a horse.
Where am I going to put this horse?
Like horses? Where am I going to put a horse?
The adventures of Darian the horse started Wednesday, May 29th, 2022, on the 4,000 block of North Darian Street, and that's why his name is Darian the horse, because that's where they found him. Animal care experts picked Darian up and nourished him. Darian is now recuperating at his brand new home, the Last Chance Ranch in Quakertown, an animal rescue sanctuary. So there's all these photos of the horse. He's like malnourished. You could see his ribs and stuff. And then really depressing stuff. But then 4 or 5 days later, there's photos of him from the ranch and he's all filled out real quick. They
eating hay,
rolling around,
eating nuns,
eating nuns. That's what horses do.
Hay is for horses. I'll tell you the truth. I think horses are super sweet and like dog-like, but I'm actually afraid of horses.
It's very honest. Soul-bearing.
That's what this podcast... Yeah. You know.
Sarah Barnett, the interim co-executive director of ACCT Philly, says, quote, Darian has at least another 15 years, and they will be spent the way they should be, end quote. Which is
nice. And a horse nursing home.
right on. Horse nursing.
Horse bingo.
Horse bingo.
Horse shuffleboard, right?
Horse shuffleboard. Yeah. Horse socks with sandals.
That's in then. Y'all are just, I'm wearing them right now.
Old horses do it doesn't mean it's not in.
Not just old horses.
I'm wearing them right now. You always make fun of me about that, but horses, if it's good enough for a horse, it's good enough for me.
Good enough for a retired horse.
Besides needing nourishment, Darian's back and feet were wounded and his teeth were damaged. After a few days of much needed TLC, Darian is already on the mend. Like I said, the photos of him on the internet, he looks much better, much happier.
I want to pet him.
I don't know if the city is a place for horses.
I mean, it was originally, you know, they're being edged out by the automobile, but
I'd rather have horses than cars around, honestly. Yeah.
I think after you're knee deep in manure, you might have a different opinion on it. But
that's why you get one of those bags that they poop in.
No, I'll keep that on your side of Broad Street.
Everybody be parking their horse wherever they want it. They'd be parking in the middle of Broad Street. They'd be double parking horses. People putting horses on the sidewalk.
Where I work. I worked on at a dog daycare that's out of business now because they're pieces of shit. Philly dog school. They can go fuck themselves. But I'll say it. I said it. The podcast didn't say it. I said it.
Podcast is not responsible for Brian Bierman's opinions.
Yeah, but I'll say it. It was on Second Street, and in Fishtown, and the horses would walk down the street, and they had the dogs would be like, "What the fuck is this?" Like, they would freak out. They would freak out every time.
I walk Ham to Center City, and they're like around like Independence Hall, and there's a bunch of people like doing those horse things over there, and they scare the shit out of my dog. he sees them and is like,
Ham's about as tall as a horse.
He is about as tall as a horse, and I guess that's why he feels threatened by them. I guess.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, they're a little taller.
Ziggy's seen a horse before. She was mystified. She came to a complete stop. She did a double take. She was just enamored with it. She followed it down the street, just like keeping pace with it. She couldn't take her eyes off of it. It was majestic and life-changing, I'm sure.
Life-changing. You think Ziggy would ride a horse?
Oh, definitely. I mean, she wants to. I don't know. I don't know if she'd be any good at it.
A cowboy hat.
Take this horse and dog to Atlantic City, make $1 million.
Like $1 million. What about the horse in Roxborough out at Saul High School?
I'm unfamiliar with the horse that you're...
Oh, it's on the horse on the side of Henry Road. You can walk up and pet if you want.
It just stands there?
Well, I never pet it, but I'm
scared. Yeah,
you just
scared.
Drive by.
You just pop by.
How many random horses?
I won't make eye contact.
How many random horses in this?
I love horses. I love horses. I get to ride a horse.
You got a map with push.
I wasn't to live in this city. I meant to ride free. Wild horses.
You did tell a very personal story in the Manson or in the Ted Bundy episode
horses.
About feeding horses in Roxborough. Is that where you met this horse? Or
there's lots of horses. There's lots of horses in Roxborough. they're all looking for affection.
Lonely horses.
And I'm just a city boy looking to give it to them.
Lonely Horse. That's our band.
Lonely Horse.
You like leave personals for horses? Like Lone Ranger? XOXO looking for is Hi Ho Silver.
Hi Ho Trove.
Hi Ho.
Oh my God.
You know how people like, I don't know, if you ever read about like LSD and people are like, it changed my life. And like now when I took acid and my whole perspective has changed and shit. And like, that's bullshit. But my like big LSD like breakthrough was horses are the funniest animal.
The what?
The funniest animal is a horse. I was like, you know what? Horses are the funniest animal.
Why? What makes a horse so funny?
I don't know, but it just is.
They surprisingly have so much personality, and you think they wouldn't.
They're like big dogs.
For how big they are. Yeah. Yeah.
I like when they make noises.
They definitely express themselves.
This is just what we like about horses.
Well, now we're going to bum everybody out because we have to talk about Barbaro. Bring it down a notch.
All right.
This local racehorse was bred and owned by Gretchen and Roy Jackson, Leal Stables of West Grove, Pennsylvania. Barbaro was undefeated in his first 5 starts.
Undefeated.
And learned a lot about horse racing this week, researching this one.
Yeah, right. You were down at the tracks. You were like, I'm doing research.
Last week we got that listener question about what would you name your race.
Where's the South Fellini petty cash?
I'm gonna double it. Just give me a couple of days. I'm gonna double it.
You're gonna double it.
I got a hot lead.
You save the company.
I'm gonna make us rich. It's odds, man. I'm playing the odds. It's math. It's not horses, it's math. This is a lock.
It's It's a lock.
Barbaro was sent off as the second choice in the Kentucky Derby with 6-1 odds in a full field of 20 horses. So he had some, being five times undefeated, he had some good odds to win this.
He had momentum going in.
Yeah, and Kentucky Derby, it's a big race, big horse race. I don't know if people listening to this aren't familiar with it, but it's a big horse race. Sure,
everybody who listens is wearing a big stupid hat right now. And drinking mint juleps.
Well, yeah.
Barbaro charged ahead during the last run and straightaway of the race to win by 6.5 lengths. It's pretty impressive. It's a good lead. Barbaro's lead in the final furlong expanded, although jockey Edgar Prado did not have to use the whip on that last straightaway. So the horse just kept increasing in speed without any kind of urgent.
It should be whipping a horse. That's bullshit.
I agree. I think that's that. Yeah, I forgot they did that. When I looked this up, I was like, oh, yeah, they do have those, like, jockey straps. Like, that's unnecessary. If the horse doesn't want to run, don't make it run.
They are jock straps, aren't they?
That's where the name comes from.
What are those whips called? What do they call them?
Horse whips?
Horse
I
whips?
Know.
I guess so. I guess it's just a horse whip.
No, it has a name. I knew what you're talking about. Hitler had one.
I was going to say evil people always have one. Evil movies. They've always got a crop. It's a crop. It's a riding
crop.
Yeah, right?
And they wear those baggy pants. You're right.
They wear those pantaloons, with the wings.
They do wear those pants. They do wear those pants.
That's true.
They are a sign of evil. They are a sign of evil.
If you're a bad guy in a movie, there's like a 30% chance you have a riding crop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This margin of victory at the Kentucky Derby was the largest since 1946, when Triple Crown winner Assault placed first by 8 lengths. So this was 6.5 lengths. 1946, it was 8 lengths.
So he was on a roll, Barbaro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat Stakes roll.
And I
sorry.
Too soon.
Sorry.
Barbaro's Preakness Stakes began with a false start. So there's these three races, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, and they make a thing called the Triple Crown, for anybody who doesn't know. And if you win those three races, if your horse wins those three races, then it wins the Triple Crown, and there's like a bonus prize. There's more cash in that win if you can go for three.
A year supply of sugar cubes.
We were pretty much saying every single thing we know about horses. I can't believe you knew that one.
So Barbaro got a false start at the Preakness, and they inspected him, and he was deemed fit to reload into the gate. And you get like a penalty, but you can still race. And however, when the race restarted, Barbaro suffered a catastrophic injury as he passed the grandstand. Barbaro broke his right hind leg in more than 20 places.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. The fetlock joint was dislocated and his hoof was left dangling loosely.
Oh.
Yeah. Veteran jockey Edgar Prado immediately dismounted and leaned his shoulder into the horse to support Barbaro's weight until the track attendants could arrive. The horse was probably in crazy pain, too. So it's like dangerous to be that close to an animal that's like thrashing and... Barbaro's injuries were life-threatening, unlike other mammals such as dogs. A horse cannot survive in humane circumstances on three legs. A broken leg in a horse can lead to complications as the other legs attempt to bear the weight of the horse's body. Ugh. They can get
Where's
all this, like...
Where's going, Zito?
Oh.
Why is this the topic?
The next day, Barbaro underwent surgery at the University of Pennsylvania for his injuries. In July, he developed laminitis.
It's good to know you can get a horse operation at UPenn.
They'll operate on anything over there.
How come they don't have a show that's like ER but for horse for ER? Horses.
All the horses that come through the ER at Penn.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I would watch that once.
Too intense.
We got another drunk driving horse. When will these horses learn? they probably get a lot of business from the horses out in Lancaster. There's probably a lot of like horse injuries. They have to come down. They bring their horses
down.
How much
people love horses. Yeah. Yep.
It's a whole industry. The horse and buggy industry still exists up there. They ran the buses and the trolleys out. They were like, we got this on lockdown. Thank you very much.
Some say they're better off.
Barbaro was rushed to the hospital where he underwent 5 further operations and his prognosis varied during an exceptionally long stay at the equine intensive care unit. While his right hind leg eventually did heal, a final risky procedure on it proved futile because the colt soon developed further laminitis in both front hooves. And I guess I looked this up. This is when where the hoof meets the joint where the hoof and the foot meet. It becomes disjointed and it's just like incredibly painful. It's just like super painful for the horse.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry. His veterinarians and owners concluded that he could not be saved, and Barbaro was euthanized on January 29th, 2007. Barbaro was cremated and interned in the front entrance of the Churchill Downs, where the Kentucky Derby takes place. A bronze statue of Barbaro was placed atop his remains, where the fans continue to lay flowers in the champion's memory.
This is a great horse.
Yeah, when he was sick after being injured at the Preakness, it was like an interest story that the news continually followed up with what his condition was and how he was doing, and he became like, you know, people were pulling for him. He became kind of like a mascot figure, a cult figure for Philadelphia for a moment, and people were like, he'll pull through, you know, just trying rooting for him in the news, and so it felt as a big loss when he died because people had been following his story for so long.
Yeah. Damn. That's really
what a downer.
What can we say? That's funny about this. This is awful.
I don't know, Bierman. You insisted we cover Barbaro, so here we are.
Well, he's a Philly horse.
He is.
Well, I didn't know the story though. I just remember there was another horse. Barbaro.
Legends of Philadelphia.
Well, we don't want to leave anybody in the dumps. We don't want to leave anybody in the dumps. So we're going to end with the inspiring story of Smarty Jones. And this is back in 2004. So this is actually when I became aware of all this stuff. Like the Kentucky Derby was just a reference in, you know, comedy shows and jokes. I had never given it any thought before this, but born at Fairthorne Farm in Chester County, Pennsylvania, the horse was named after Millie McNair, the mother of co-owner Pat Chapman. The two shared a birthday, and Chapman wanted to honor her late mother. She said the horse was strong-willed from birth, and her mother was too. Her mother was known as a bit of a smart aleck as a child and had gotten the nickname Smarty Jones. So that's how the horse got its name.
Smarty Jones.
It's a solid horse name.
Yeah, it does have a memorable quality to it, and it's not like as intense as some of these other ones. Seabiscuit, Secretariat, they're like very kind of like stodgy or whatever.
Mr. Ed,
a Triple Crown winner. People don't know that about him, but Mr. Ed raced the Triple Crown before.
He made wisecracks after winning.
He was a trash talker like Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. He would get in the other horses' heads.
Mr.
But it was just because he was trying to like build hype for the event. He never really meant it. Everybody behind the scenes, everybody loved him.
Trying to sell pay-per-views.
Just trying to sell tickets. Just trying to fill seats.
Butts in the seats.
That's how he ended up in show business. He gets that. He's a consummate performer. Smarty, the horse, is a third-generation descendant of Mr. Prospector and included in the pedigree of Triple Crown winners such as Secretariat, Count Fleet, War Admiral, Gallant Fox, and Man of War. So
these are all intense names for a horse.
I know.
They're all intense. Yeah. Mr.
Like
Prospector.
Warhammer, the horse.
War Admiral.
And it's funny that he has a silly name. He's a third generation, and he has a silly name. That's just like...
Count Fleet. Gallant Fox. Man, oh.
This is intense.
Locust and Famine. Man, that's a weird horse name.
When I was a kid, I would my grandpa would go to the racetrack in Bent Salem, and he would bet on horses that he would take me. And it smelled like cigars. It had a specific smell. But the old men
don't they make you smoke cigars there? Does that?
Yeah, they made me, or I couldn't come in. And I had to drink a whiskey sour, or I had to leave.
You had to hold it at least. It's a one it's whiskey cold. Sour minimum.
I like this. I sip like, it. I sip.
Sip it slowly.
Yeah.
It's warm, Grandpa.
Did he ever race there? He probably did, right?
What's the name of the place?
That's where he started. He started out there.
Is it Philadelphia Park or Bent Salem? I don't know what it's called. I forget.
Let's say yeah.
What
he got his start
yeah,
there?
He did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was born there.
That's where he hung out. He hung out and shot pool
and he worked
there.
Out there,
yeah.
too.
He worked out. His gym was there. Horse gym. How do you work out a horse? Like, how do they get in shape for?
They do jumps.
Burpees.
They do steroids.
It's a lot of.
They do horse steroids.
Tai Bo. It's horse Tai Bo. That's how they get.
Tai Bo. Like Billy Blanks, yeah. The horse. When I was a kid, there was a horse named Ernie's French Fries, and I don't know why, but I always remember that. But he wasn't like, he was a jobber horse. He wasn't like a, he wasn't like jobber.
He wasn't a champion.
No. My mom said they're doing at the racetrack, they're doing Basset Hound races.
Not
greyhounds?
The greyhounds.
No, Basset Hounds. It's funnier.
It is pretty funny. I guess we should go check that out.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Honestly, everything I know about the first time I heard about anything like horse racing and horse races and paid attention and was aware of it was the Bobcat Goldthwait movie, Hot to Trot.
Hot to Trot.
With John Candy as the voice, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I saw that at the movies.
Hot to Trot.
Oh my God, dude.
So, I mean, I guess that's where I learned even that they race horses. Like, I didn't go to a track as a kid. I don't know. I don't have that experience. Hot to Trot is as close as I got.
What is the deal with the place on Packer Avenue that's like a horse racing place?
Turf but Club?
The Turf Club, yeah. But there's no, obviously, there's no actual, you watch horse races.
Yeah, you watch like Baltimore horse races.
Yeah, it's off track.
Or like illegal Taiwanese horse races.
And I mean, they've been there forever. You're legally, or you're allowed to bet on horses in Pennsylvania and Port.
It's a big thing. The in Bent Salem, they're still like,
yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
they got a casino now too. So.
But like, there's casinos like everywhere. But you know, why were they allowed to do like horse? It was like the only betting.
It's the only betting. Yeah. This is like one of those things that, like, when we're old, it's like. We're going to be like, oh, yeah, they did used to do that. That was inhumane.
Yes, absolutely.
Horse race.
Let's whip a horse till he beats this other horse.
Dog racing is becoming more and more illegal. So I'm actually surprised that you're saying that they're doing that. Is it underground?
Yeah, it's underground. It's like Fight Club, but with Basset and Hound races.
So on a rainy May 1st, 2004, Smarty Jones entered the Kentucky Derby where he was the immediate favorite and he won. He became the first unbeaten winner of the race since the Seattle Slough in 1977. Smarty Jones won the race by 2 3/4 lengths. So, you know, it wasn't a blowout, but it was a hefty win, a sizable win.
He made it interesting.
Yeah. On May 15th, after appearing on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Smarty Jones won the second leg of...
He was in the swimsuit issue that month. Very revealing.
Tasteful. Classy.
There's a Sports Illustrated curse for the football teams for whatever team gets featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated the week before the Super Bowl has traditionally or coincidentally lost the Super Bowl. So now they won't. Now no team will pose for it. The last few years, it's a thing now. People like noticed this as a pattern, and they were like, nah.
So that's like the John Madden box too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Whoever's
thing.
On gets injured.
Right.
And then this is the Sports Illustrated curse.
The horse curse.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're courting disaster by letting their horse go on the cover of the Sports Illustrated while he's trying to win the Triple Crown. That feels like a, you know what I mean?
Feels like Sports Illustrated. They should have known better. It's so crazy because 2004 Sports Illustrated still was like a thing.
Yeah.
And it mattered and it was a weekly publication. I remember when this was all happening. I remember print media.
Before the world was run by podcasts.
It was a big deal.
Move out of the way, Newsweek. Here comes the Legends of Philadelphia.
And you got a free phone that plugged into your wall, and it was shaped like a football of your favorite team. Sure, Grandpa. And you call your friends. You don't know who would answer.
Could so scary. Mom.
Could be their brother. You don't know what you're going to get.
You could dial the wrong number. You could be one digit off and get some stranger and then have to have that conversation.
Yeah.
All the way back in 2004. So on May 15th, Smarty Jones won the second leg of the Triple Crown with a victory at the 2004 Preakness Stakes by a record margin of 11 and a half lengths.
Oh, that's a squash.
Yeah, dude. He crushed the competition.
That's squash.
He became the first odds-on favorite to win the race since Spectacular Bid in 1979.
Spectacular Bid was the horse that he had to drop out after those nude photos of him were published.
A lot of horse modeling in this episode.
Write what you know. Talk about what you know.
Talk about what you know.
Horses, majestic creatures. Majestic creatures.
Majestic, sexy creatures. So Smarty Jones, he's on a roll right now.
Yes, top of his game.
He's got all the momentum. He's like out there partying. He's like, he was dating Tara Reid at the time. He was out there. He was at parties. He was at.
She dumped Carson Daly for him. It was very public. It was ugly. It was really ugly.
It was ugly. It was ugly, Zito.
What else was going on in 2004? Everybody was wearing low-rise jeans and Uggs.
A lot of thongs. A lot of whale tails.
Even on a horse, it's a whale tail.
Even on a horse.
Smarty Jones had all those tattoos, and it rubbed people the wrong way. He was like the edgy horse in all of this.
Yeah.
Dyeing his hair, wearing thongs.
He was the Dennis Rodman of horses.
Right.
Horse.
He married himself.
He married himself. He rode himself.
And now he's friends with North Korean dictators. That's... Yeah. They have a lot in common. They actually have a lot in common. After Smarty's Preakness victory, Smarty Jones became arguably the number one fan favorite because of his Triple Crown aspirations. And, you know, everybody loves
He couldn't walk down the street. Do people were asking for autographs? Selfies on their flip phone cameras.
On their flip phones. On their Razor phones. Yeah.
I'm trying to put this on MySpace.
His popularity increased the attendance of the race by 17,000 people and caused the highest television ratings in 14 years.
Damn.
I watched it. I was working at the Phillies new the Philly Stadium. It was the first year they opened.
Right.
And they showed, and like staff, we went, you know, we were there early and they showed it on the screen and everybody watched it. And it was like a minute long, you know, and I thought I was going to watch this long thing. I was like, oh, I guess that's that.
That's it.
Yeah, it's very short. It's not the Indy 500. It's like it's a minute and a half of your life.
Well, yeah, like our boss was like, "Yo, you guys can watch the race before work." We're like, "All right, you know."
Yes.
Okay, it was an hour and a half. I don't know how long the horse race is. It was like 90 seconds.
Do they have an undercard of horse races on those big shows, like boxing?
It's different. It's
different
donkeys.
Animals. Yeah. It's the little ponies.
It's mules. It's mules.
So yeah, people were tuning in.
And then you get to wear the flowers, right?
After each one of these victories, they put a wreath around the horse. And I'm only speaking from like, so I looked a bunch of this stuff up. I'm not really familiar with horse racing, so this is just my impression of it. But people watch the Kentucky Derby. It's the biggest one. It's got the name recognition. And then they watch the Preakness, because if the horse that won the Kentucky Derby wins the Preakness, well, then we got a Triple Crown situation on our hands. And then people only watch the Belmont if there's somebody in contention. So, like, for Smarty Jones to be bringing this kind of heat to this show is a big deal for Belmont. They don't always get this kind of attention from the wider audience outside of diehard horse racing fans.
Right. True horse fans. True horse lovers.
Casual horse racing fans.
True
not
horse
as casual
lovers.
Horse lovers, right. Yeah, exactly.
That's,
horse hobbyists, if you
horse
will.
Horse
hobbyists. Do you think a horse knows if it won?
I don't know. That's a good question, because you could probably just take the horse back in the stable, put a wreath around its neck, and feed it a salt lick and be like, ah, here's your oat bag.
You won. Good job.
You won. What does it know the difference? Take a bunch of pictures, flash a bunch of flashes
in the horse's
flash
face.
Bulb.
Yep. You won.
Take that, horse. Yeah.
Good job, horse.
Breeders made offers for the stud rights to Smarty Jones, with the offers going as high as $40 or $50 million. So at this point, he's his most valuable to people, because they're like, we want to get in now because we think he's going to win
the
Triple Crown.
What's stud mean, Zito? What's
stud,
that mean?
That's when they breed the horse. That's when they continually pump out
horse. You don't got to get too into it, but...
You can see me sweating. I'm getting all red. I got to take off my shirt.
Now the episode's...
This is awkward.
An explicit episode. You've crossed
now
the line again.
Yeah. Parental advisory.
Horse reproduction.
These videos are on YouTube. They're not even censored, so I don't think it's that risky.
They're not.
They're not even censored.
Horse tube, huh?
Hmm. Horse husbandry. Hmm. That's a rabbit hole. That's a horse hole you can go down.
A horse hole.
Do you think the horse is, it's like Rocky, where the horse isn't allowed to have sex because women weaken legs?
Yeah, absolutely. They don't let that horse bang until it's out the stud. That's why they're all racing so hard. They're like, I only got to win 9 more, and then I got this filly back home.
This filly, wow.
I got my eyes on her.
Wow.
We all read Black Beauty.
We've all bled.
So on June 5th, 2004, Smarty Jones finished second in the Belmont Stakes. He was upset.
Second?
Yep, he did not win. He was upset by a late charge from 36-1 long shot Birdstone.
He was partying too hard. He wasn't taking it seriously.
Women do weaken legs. There you go. Yeah, proof. There's the proof.
Practice. He was like, practice.
So Birdstone's trainer, Nick Zito, apologized for Chapman.
Who?
His name is Nick Zito. No relation.
Do you know him?
No relation. Oh. It's a very common name.
Do you hate him?
No, we probably have encountered one another at the annual Zito meetings, where we all get together, all the other Zitos around the world.
Who ranks higher?
Barry Zito is pretty high up
Barry,
there. Chuck Zito is pretty high up there. Nick Zito's in the middle, and I'm somewhere. I'm like bottom middle. I'm a solid.
Bottom middle.
I'm like a 4.5.
Mid
five.
Lower mid card.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care for any of yous.
That's all we talk about at the Trove meetings.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. The Troves never come up at the Zito meetings. It's
not once.
Never even.
Never came up. Never came up.
I don't know. I don't think about you at all.
Yeah, the Zitos have a rent-free table at the Trove convention.
We're mostly just talking about like pitching and horse training and podcasting. Just like things we're like really good at and have passion for.
Star Trek.
Trekking.
Trekking.
Yeah.
Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
The 1986 Transformers movie.
You know, Zito things.
Zito things. Yeah. Rare Doctor Who.
Yes, Doctor Who Lost Media, one of my hobbies. Birdstone's trainer, Nick Zito, apologized to the Chapmans for spoiling their Triple Crown dreams. He had trained...
That's so unlike a Zito to apologize.
We don't like to admit when we're wrong. That's why I have to take truth serum before the errors and omissions episode.
Truth serum.
Sodium pentothal. I'm high as a kite on sodium pentothal for the errors and omissions episode. Rest of the time, I'm pathological. I just... everything on this podcast is a lie.
Don't trust him. Don't trust a Zito. That's a... Everyone knows that.
That's some Batman shit.
I'm the unreliable narrator. I just happen to read off the wiki.
What was that stuff that Burt Ward took to make his
dick small?
I think it's called saltpeter. I think
saltpeter. That's crazy.
Look it up.
We should explain. We should explain this. We're not just it. Apparently his junk was too big. For the when he was playing a Robin, and the network was like, you got to do something about this, because, and they made him take drugs to make his dick smaller.
Instead of taping it back, he had
so to... says he. So says he.
Yeah.
And it was called saltpeter.
Saltpeter. For anyone who's looking for it,
that's what they
is potassium nitrate.
That's what they used to give soldiers, so they wouldn't. You know, fuck each other.
They give it to horses to make them run faster.
Oh, okay. Man, we learned so much when you listen to this podcast.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Zito had trained 5 second place horses, and this was his first victory at Belmont. So it was a big victory for him, but a huge upset for the Chapmans, who owned Smarty Jones.
A victory for all Zitos.
We all felt it. We get a power up like the quickening in the Highlander.
Like Highlander.
Fucking Queen cover plays, and we're in lightning strikes.
And lightning strike.
We're like, I am becoming. We all get a power up. I don't want to tell you the feeling we all got when Chuck Zito beat up Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I remember you were all high.
He was hard as a rock that day.
My eyes were all bloodshot. I couldn't sleep for a month.
Yeah, you pushed me that day really hard. I was like, come on, stop.
It was like a shoulder nudge, but I like put...
Like a shoulder?
I was coming at you like we were playing football. I was real rough.
Yeah, do something about it. Come on. You could say, no, thank you. I don't want any Stromboli. Push me.
You know I'm a calzone fan. I only eat calzones. The Belmont was Smarty Jones' only loss out of 9 starts, so he was 8-1. Speculation arose that his loss was the result of the lengthy mile-and-a-half Belmont track. So the Belmont is a little bit longer than... the Derby, the Kentucky Derby, or the Preakness.
Tortoise and the Hare.
Kind of, yeah. Smarty set a blistering pace on the front end, but Birdstone, a more distance-favoring pedigree, rallied from well off the pace, and for the first time in his career, Smarty Jones was passed during a race.
Do you think Smarty Jones was like, what? What? He couldn't handle it? He couldn't handle the disappointment?
I don't pretend to know what goes on in the mind of an athlete. I let alone...
They're trained different. They have a drive that we don't have.
I don't even know if he could see what was going on around him, if he had, you know, no pun intended, blinders on.
Tunnel vision. Blinders.
Yeah. Tunnel vision. Smarty Jones, he's different.
He's built different.
He's built different. Too much Powerade.
People say he juiced, but I don't. They never proved it.
What kind of juice? Apple?
Yeah, he's just mainlining this stuff.
Carrot.
The end of his racing career was announced on August 2nd, 2004, due to chronic bruising of his ankle bones. Smarty Jones finished his career with 8 wins and 1 place in 9 starts, bringing his total earnings to $7,613,155.
Damn.
Not bad for a horse.
He would have had an additional $5 million if he had won the Triple Crown.
Damn.
But what had happened was, like a lot of athletes, he spent all his money up front.
Mm-hmm.
He blew all his money.
Bought all those cars.
At the strip club.
He declared bankruptcy shortly after.
Yeah.
Self-financed a rap career. It was embarrassing.
Sad. Yeah. The car washes. Horse washes.
The horse washes?
Yeah. Hanging out with Lenny Dykstra.
That really hurt his cash.
That'll hurt anyone.
Yeah.
That'll hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Smarty Jones was put out to stud at the Three Chimneys Farm in Midway, Kentucky. Smarty Jones' first foals were born in 2006 and began racing in 2008. The first Smarty Jones sire to achieve Grade 1 winner status was Central Intelligence, who won the 2013 G1 Triple Bend Handicap. The horse's name is Central Intelligence, one word.
Mm. Do you think Smarty Jones was proud?
Yeah, he was watching on TV, kicking back with a beer.
He had a single tear in his eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they were close while he was growing up. I don't know how involved he was.
He was real hard on his son.
Like Wayne Gretzky's dad. Like Eric Lindros's dad.
Or Tiger Woods' dad. Or Serena
Tiger
Williams'
Woods
dad. Smarty now stands at Rodney Eckenrod's Equestry Farm near Anvil, PA. He has sired stakes winners.
Yeah, can we go pet him?
He's very busy. I don't think you can just pull up.
Well, he's retired. How are you?
I mean, retired for a horse is like...
Signs autographs at the car show.
No, at the county fair.
Wizard World. at Cherry Hill Monster Mania.
Right next to Dean Cain and Lou Ferrigno. He now has an early Kentucky Derby prep race at Oak Lawn named in his honor, the Smarty Jones Stakes, as well as Labor Day race at Parks Racing and Casino that was inaugurated in 2010 as a replacement for the Pennsylvania Derby. So
damn, so he's got a legacy.
Yeah, he's
dynasty,
got a brand. He's franchising.
A dynasty.
Yeah.
Horse dynasty.
They make violin bows out of horse hairs. Do you think
really?
Yeah. Do you think, like, Smarty Jones' horse is like...
That's what Yo-Yo Ma plays.
He plays with Smarty Jones' hair.
Yeah, he makes the sweetest... His hair makes the sweetest music. It's, you know...
Yeah.
It would only be better if he won the Triple Crown, you know? So it's like the best horse hair you can get.
Yeah.
If you want to play the Kimmel, if you want to play the Met,
Kimmel
you
Center,
need a
sure,
horse hair
sure.
bow, yeah.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Find the nicest horse hair.
Find a nice horse.
The finest
first step,
horse,
find a horse
tail.
Well, it's horse hair. It could be from any part of the horse. Really.
I guess you could pull it from the mane. That's true.
The mane, yeah.
I don't. I'm not a musician. I don't know. You're gonna have. You'd have to.
I think that's gross, honestly.
It's better than cat guts, right? Isn't that what the other thing they're made out of?
Oh yeah, gross.
Cat guts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bows, strings. I don't know. I think I saw that in Amadeus, but I could be wrong.
It's pretty. It's pretty much a documentary. So yeah.
Salieri, so relatable. Okay, do you guys have anything else you want to add about horses, horse racing, horses in the city of Philadelphia? Mr. Ed.
If you have a horse, please bring him to Seth Fleeny Thursday to Sunday, 12 to 5, so I can pet him.
Mm-hmm. Let us know so we can have carrots.
We have some carrots.
Yeah, we have dog baskets for dogs, but we don't have, we can get, I can get carrots.
We'll get an oat bag.
I saw this on the internet. I don't know who I'm quoting, but it was said, if you're driving and you see horses and you don't say horses, you're a psychopath.
Oh, like when they're in the back of a truck thing.
Like if you're driving some horses and you go horses. You go,
if
horses,
they're just on the side of the road, even right.
Yeah, you get horses, you know, and you see cows, you go, you know, you move with them. It's like, if you don't do that, there's...
You're going to get arrested. It's illegal. You have to do it.
It's illegal. I'm going to call the cops on you.
Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about our hometown horse champs. Please check out our website, www.southfleeny.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Follow along, join in the conversation. We want to hear from you. What would you name your racing horse? We talked about that last week, but maybe you have an idea.
Right.
Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask. Hi-ho, Silver.
Bye.